Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. All right, we're talking about Paul, his life and teachings. Got a couple more to go in the series I want to deal with today. I asked the Holy Spirit really to help me. I want you to get this. I want you to get it in your heart. But the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:10 and 11, he said, "According to the grace of God, which was given me as a wise master builder, I laid the foundation, another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can be laid other than that which is Jesus Christ." So we've been talking about the teachings of Paul. He's a master builder, and he is someone that we really need to pay attention to. I brought attention to James Stocker, his book, The Life of Paul. He said, "Paul's letters contain the best explanation of Christianity in the world. The right way to look at them is to regard them as the continuation of Christ's own teachings." I really like that. And that means, you know, when you read Paul's letters, it's like they're all red letter. He went on to say, "They contain the thoughts that Jesus carried away from this world unuttered. They are the advanced teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ." And Paul's writings are wonderful. As I've said, in the Gospels, you can see what man saw and what man saw in the redemption process. You saw the outer workings of the good news of redemption. But in Paul's writings, you see the x-ray. In Paul's writings, you see the CAT scan. In Paul's writings, you see behind the scene, and you see what God did in Christ and what happened for us, the benefits that are ours because of the finished work of the cross. We talked about many of his fundamental teachings. Paul talked a lot about grace. And grace, we simply, God's riches at Christ's expense. It's kind of a weak definition, but if that's all you know, it's good. Because it really is, we get God's riches at Christ's expense. And then in Romans 1:7, we see that he talked a lot, also grace and peace. Grace and peace were connected together. He said, "Grace and peace from our God and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." That was a part of Paul's letters and teachings. You need to know that Jesus came to make peace between you and God. So you have peace with God, but not only that, you have the peace of God. And we just went on to talk about in Philippians 4:2-7, where the peace of God that is supernatural, even in situations where it seems impossible, can be something like a relational difficulty or a conflict. You see that Paul said, put a demand on the peace that passes understanding. Put a demand on the peace that you can never even wrap your head around, but it's a peace that will invade that situation and it'll bring a supernatural change. Paul talked about a supernatural peace, not just the peace of God and peace with God, but a supernatural manifestation of Jehovah Shalom, where wholeness will come into any place where there's brokenness or lack. Can I get an amen? Last week we talked about in Ephesians, he talked a lot about the body of Christ. He talked more than anybody about the church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 said he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The head over all things to the church. The head over all things. No, the head over all things to the church. The church is a very, very significant vehicle in the earth. In fact, the most significant. And in Timothy, Paul said the church is the pillar and the foundation of truth. The pillar, the foundation. If there's going to be truth in the earth, the church is the vehicle to take responsibility for it and to manifest it. The church is a powerful vehicle and instrument in the earth. Paul used the word church 45 times more than everybody else put together and then some. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, "Christ, who is the head of his body, the church, his body, the church, his body, the church. He makes the whole body." Who does? He does. "He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and it comes to the full measure, the full manifestation of the love of God." Hello. He puts you where he wants you to be. He equips you. He graces you and gifts you. And then he wants you to function. And the whole body functioning together under his headship is going to manifest the goodness of God to the earth. Can I get an amen? It's not you hooked up to a church. It's not you hooked up to a ministry. It's not you hooked up to a pastor. Any pastor is going to get you hooked up to Jesus. Don't come get hooked up to me. Come and I will hook you up to Jesus. And I'll equip that relationship all I can, because that relationship is paramount above everything you need. Your relationship with me is useless unless I'm pointing to Jesus and equipping you with revelation to hear the voice of God, to tap into the Spirit of God, to grow in your relationship with him is what I exist for. not to grow in your relationship with me and to pump up my vision and say, go, Pastor. I'm here to say, go you. And equip you to be everything God called you to be. And the body, the whole body, needs to be equipped and aligned and grow perfectly together so that we can reach and realize the purpose. And last week we talked about Archie or Puss, depending on how you wanted to announce it, but Archippus. And it said, talked about all the people in this greeting in Colossians. But he said, oh, and yes, tell Archippus. He said, tell him, do your best in the job you received from the master. Do your very best. Now turn to your neighbor and say, do your very best. Now, the Lord wants you to be a really awesome, incredible steward, a faithful steward of the blessings that he has given you. All right, you ready? Today I'm going to talk about one and once. One and once. Just real quick, one and once. What a load of stuff, but we're going to give it to you. Starting in Romans chapter 3, 23 and 24. He says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul puts everyone in Adam. Paul puts every single person in Adam. As far as Paul's concerned, there's two very important people in the Bible. Two very important people. You ready? Number one, Adam. Number two, Jesus Christ. Paul, there's two people, there's two very, very important people that you need to understand who they are and what their relationship is in the Bible. And so he puts everyone in Adam, but he puts everybody, he lumps everybody over in Adam because this is true doctrine. He wants to put everybody over in Adam so that everybody, through one act of the finished work of the cross, everybody can be redeemed by the same act. So he wants to show you that everyone is in Adam. Every single person is identified with Adam so that every person in Adam can be identified with Christ and there can be complete and total salvation through the one finished work of the cross. All right, now, if you weren't here Wednesday night, you missed out. I mean, Pastor John was amazing. I had a blast. Who was here Wednesday night? Just saw that. That was awesome stuff. I mean, really, really good stuff. But John said this. It's right here. You ready? There it is. John said, religion separates us into are you good or are you bad? You know, every religion has that question, are you good or are you bad? But he said, that's the wrong question. The question is, are you with God or are you without God? You see, and Jesus came and restored the question, and that was so good. It was so succinct, so clear. And you see, because even believers, Christians, churches, I mean, we're ministering on the good and bad theme. We're trying to feed people from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil instead of from the tree of life. And so we spend all our time going, either you're good or you're bad. You know, stop doing the bad stuff, do the good stuff. And that's the ministry we get in most churches. Here's how to be a better person. You know what? If I could have done it in my flesh, I didn't need Jesus to die for me. So we got people on this self-help cycle that you know, they keep on, I got to be better. I got to be better. It's just ugly, messed up, creepy religion. The question isn't, are you good or bad? The question is, are you with God or are you without God? And that's really it. And that's what it was from the beginning. But the fall came in and corrupted that whole thing. And it brought in that whole sense of evil and that whole sense of bad. And we've been struggling with that. Trying, man, religion is man's attempt to make himself right with God. You can't do it. It was a powerful thing. I just wish we'd recorded it, but I don't know that we did. So with Paul, all were in Adam, but now all can be in Christ. So listen to this question. You ready? Are you in Adam or are you in Christ? And that was really the question that Paul was. Paul was, you are divided into two groups of people. There's only two groups of people on the earth. The people that are in Adam, who've remained and stayed in Adam. And then there's the other people who've made that really good decision, who've made that really good choice. They got a revelation that I can step out of this, and they chose to step into Christ Jesus. There's only two types of people on the earth, not good and bad, but are you in Adam, or did you make a really good decision, a quality choice, and say, I receive Jesus? There's only two groups, and that's what Paul really strived to bring into manifestation. Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. It says, and Adam lived 130 years, and he begot a son in his own likeness after his image. Say his image, his own likeness. So Adam was not created in sin, but he did pass on the condition of sin to everyone. That wasn't the intent. That wasn't the purpose. He was not created in sin, But he chose to step into disobedience. And because of his disobedience, every single one after, see, he was created in the image of God. But then after the fall, it says Adam then created in his own likeness. Adam then procreated after that in his own image. And that was passed on to everyone. And what Paul's trying to say, it's not as much the sin you've committed that is the problem. It's the fact that you've inherited this sin nature from your father Adam. And you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. And I want you to know that because of what Jesus did, you can now move over. You can leave being in Adam and you can be in Christ. And it's not you're bad and you can now be good. It's you're in Adam and now you can be in Christ. See, religion says you're bad, but come and you can be good. But how many know you come to try to be good and you find out, I'm still doing some bad stuff. You know why? Because you don't have a proper revelation. You were in Adam, couldn't help yourself. Now you're in Christ and you've got the power and the anointing and the Spirit of God and the help of heaven so that now you've been the power of sin, the penalty of sin. It's been broken off your life and you're free to live empowered by the grace of God. It's not bad or good. It's in Adam or in Christ. And Paul reduced his teaching to those two men. They are the important people in the Word of God. Now, my son Dylan was conceived in the USA. He was conceived in just south of Rochester. If we'd have stayed there three more weeks, he would have been an American. Dylan wishes, well, maybe we should have stayed a little while. But you see, we moved up here in 1990, and in May, Dylan was born. We moved up here, and I got ordained. I got installed in the church, and then, boom, Dylan was born. It was a busy, busy month. But Dylan was conceived in the USA, but inside of mom and with dad, we brought what was conceived in the USA, and it was born in Canada. Oh, Canada, the true north, strong and free. But see, we made a choice that affected Dylan. Adam made a choice that affected us. The intent of God is for us to be perfect, to be pure, created in his image. But you see, the beautiful thing is, here's the beautiful thing. It doesn't matter what you got brought over into. You can be remastered. You can be born again. And you can be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I was born into this mess. I got good news for you. You can be born again. I was born with a wicked sexual tendencies. Whatever that means, I don't know. But you know what? You can be born again. Whatever you think you were born with. Well, we were born with diabetes in our family. You know what's awesome? You can be born again. We're born with arthritis in our family. You can be born again. See, in my family, my mom told me that I had to go get checked out because everybody in our family had this heart problem. And you had this extra tab on between the valves in my heart. Not my heart, but in a lot of the people in our family. My brothers both had it, and uncles, aunts, all that stuff. So my mom says, you better get checked out because everybody in our family has it. I said, Mom, I don't got it. Oh, you got to get checked out. I go, no, I don't got it. I choose not to have it. It says that Peter said, it says, you've been redeemed from the empty ways passed it down from your forefathers. So if that came through the forefathers, I've been redeemed. I said, I've been redeemed. I don't know where it comes from. Don't even care. I don't want to study it, figure it out. Don't want to go through two generations, three generations. I don't want to go through four generations. I got one word. I've been redeemed from the empty way passed down from my forefathers. And I believe the blood covers that. I don't have it. So anyway, mom convinced me to go get it checked out. Went, got checked out, got me on a treadmill. The run on the treadmill just about killed me right there. I was running there faster. I'm like, faster. And finally, I got off the thing. They did that. They did a four-dimensional ultrasound, all kinds of crazy stuff. And then I went back to see the doctor. And I said, so what's up? Do I got it? He said, nope. I said, so you develop it later in life? He says, nope, either you got it or you don't. I said, I don't. Because I was in Adam, but now I'm in Christ. Right now, some of you may need that revelation. Because some of you talk like that. I've heard you. Not going to point you out, but oh, yeah, it runs in the family. It's amazing how you can hear sermons, hear all that stuff, and still be ruled by faulty thinking. Come on. I know what happens. Don't got that. Amen? I was in Adam, but now I'm in Christ. All right? So there you go. I mean, Dylan, poor Dylan, could have been born in the USA, but we brought him into Canada. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, so there's a parallel here. Paul is making a parallel. Here's the parallel. He says, Adam's sin is passed on to us because we were in him. We were in him. He says, we were in Adam. And he does the same parallel. How many believe that you can be in Christ? Well, the same parallel is right there. We were in Adam, so get over it. That's what it says. We were in Adam, and it was passed on to us because we were in him. See, and it's not the sin you commit. It's the fact that the problem isn't the sin you committed. The problem is that you were broken in the first place. So, yeah, in Adam, we had that, but it says now Christ's righteousness is passed on to us because we are in him. So there's two types of people, people in Adam and people that are in Christ. Okay, look now. Look now, it says the last Adam. Say last Adam. Bible talks about first Adam, and then it talks about the last Adam. Say first, last. What does last tell us? Last tells us last. What does that mean? There's not going to be any more. Don't name your kids Adams because there's no more Adams. Just kidding. Just in this sense, there was a first Adam, there's the last Adam, that's it. That's it. There's not going to be any more. See, we had the first one. He blew it, passed something on, but then the last one came, he passed on something real good. So we had the first Adam, now we got the last Adam, done. Right? Just want you to understand this. You got to understand this. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:45, and so it was written, the first Adam became a living being or a living soul. It says in the last Adam, referring to Christ, he became a life-giving spirit. So that's it. Done. There's going to be no more Adams. There was one who messed it up. We need another one to recover it all once and for all so it could never, ever be taken away. We had the one who dropped us all on our head. We got the other who put us upright and put us upright because of his own value and his own worth, and nobody can ever take it from us again. So there was one Adam, but there isn't going to be another. The last one got it right, did it right on terms that can never, ever be changed. You are in Christ. You are free forever to serve the purposes of God. So there's no more. That's it. All right. Another thing it says is he talks about the second man. You see, he doesn't say the last man, doesn't say the first man or last man, but it says the first man and the second man. It says, for since by man came death, and then it goes capital M, by man, capital meaning Jesus Christ, for since by man, Adam, came death, so now by man, Jesus Christ, the man who was God himself, emptied of divinity, came as a man. By that man, he came, and because of that man who was from the heavens, he came, and as we have been born of that image, the man of dust, we now also shall bear the image of the heavenly man who is Jesus. So there's no more Adams, but there are going to be more men and women. See, Jesus did what he did, not so that he was the only one made righteous, but he was the firstborn among many brothers. So what he did, there's going to be the first, the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth. See, now man is free to be who they were meant to be, totally delivered from everything that is opposed to that. Now in Christ Jesus, we are made perfect. We are made complete. We are delivered totally from anything that would hinder the purpose of God in our lives. Amen. Amen, Pastor. That's good stuff. So there's no more Adams, but there will be many, many sons and daughters. Now go to Romans. Romans chapter 5. We're going to read a bunch of scripture. Say, bunch of scripture. Good to read the word. The word's a good thing. If you don't have a Bible that is marked up and messed up, it means you'll probably be marked up and messed up. But a life that's all together usually carries a Bible that's a wreck. Because the word, you're devouring it. It's like, man, I see people with an all-together Bible. It hasn't been used much. Let's go down Romans chapter 5, look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Death in Adam, life in Christ. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin. Now listen, he has to stop there. Many of your Bibles will have brackets, might have a hyphen, but there's a pause there because he said that, and right after he said that, he said, oh, now hold on a minute. I don't want you to misunderstand me. Do you get that? Look at it. Read your Bible. Read the brackets. Read the quotes, the commas, read the periods, read it all. Look what it says. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Right, death spread to all men because all men sinned, Pastor. I know, I look at people, they're goofing up and sinning all the time. That's where Paul said, oh, I got to stop there because I don't want them to think that I'm talking about the sin that they commit. I want to tell them that the sin I'm talking about isn't the sin that you may or may not have committed. I'm talking about all of sin because you're in Adam. I'm not talking about your offenses or the things you've done. So he stops there, and there's a big bracket there in the Authorized Version and other versions because he goes, stop. Let me stop my thought there for a second because I don't want to lose you. Did I lose anybody? Thank you. Look at the bracket now. For until the law was in the world, But sin is not imputed where there's no law. So he's saying, you could be saying now, but what about the people before the law when there was no law, there was no sin? So, I mean, they sinned too. He said, now listen. He said, nevertheless, death reigned. Death reigned from Adam and from Moses, all the way to Moses, over even those who had not sinned according to the likeness or transgression of Adam, who is the type. Say type. Type, what a huge word. He is the type. What is he the type of? He is the type of him who was to come. See, Adam was the type. How was he the type, Pastor? He was the type in this measure. He was the type in that as, because, and through one man's sin, that sin was transmitted to all mankind. He was a type of Jesus, who one man's righteousness now could be transmitted to all mankind. So he wanted to make it clear that I'm not talking about the little sins you did or where you successfully screwed up. I'm talking about the sin that came because of your relationship in Adam. He goes on. He says, nevertheless, look, he says, but look, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more. Whoo! I mean, how many have seen the effect of sin? I mean, Adam's sin. How many have seen the effect of that throughout the whole race? I mean, it's pretty pervasive, isn't it? It's pretty ugly. He's not talking about your sin. He's talking about that sin that was passed on to each and every one. He says, listen, that was pervasive. Look what it's done. Let me tell you something. The righteousness of Christ, what he has done, much, much, much more will it work through the whole thing. It'll work through the whole lump. It'll redeem every single person on the earth. Just like sin, you think that's a powerful thing? The righteousness of God through Christ Jesus much more abounds to bring in the manifestation, the love and the goodness of God. Man, I'm trying hard over here, working hard, Pastor, hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah, glory to God. And the gift is not like that offense, all right, but it resulted in much more. The free gift is much more. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. The free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man and one offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in the sweet by and by. Who's reading with me? Anybody? You should have stood up and said, stop it! Look what it says. It says, verse 17, it says, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, the gift of righteousness. When is a gift not a gift? When you have to earn it. The gift of righteousness, it comes to us and it will reign. We will reign in life through one Christ Jesus. Right now, this is so powerful, it should be working supernaturally in every single believer's life right now. Therefore, there was the end of the, did anybody see the bracket there? See the bracket at the end of that verse? Verse 17 has a bracket. So that whole thing was tucked in there because he didn't want you to misunderstand the sin that he was talking about. Does anybody see that? Oh, Pastor, you're just straining at details. Details are incredibly important. People missing the details, it keeps them in bondage. There's the end of the bracket. So he comes back and he's therefore again. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteousness, the act, the free gift, comes to all men, resulting in justification of life. But as by the one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Hello, the one man's act of obedience, many were made sinners. So also, by the one man's obedience, all or many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. My sin's as high as a mountain. It's way bigger than the Alps. It's bigger than Mount Everest. Whoopee-doo! His grace is higher than the sky, penetrates the universe and every galaxy. Woo! Much more, so that the sin reigned in death, so grace now might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, you know what we do? We record these sermons. We record these sermons right here. And then after we record them, we make copies. And we send out copies. And sometimes we send out copies and people say to us, there's something wrong with my disc. And they'll send it back and we'll redo it. And then we'll send it out again. They'll say, there's something wrong with my disc. And I'll go, oh, what's going on? And then what we find out is we go back and we check the master. And the reason there's a problem with the copy is there was a problem with the master. So let me just play one. I did one right now. Just play that for me now, right now. Oh, actually, here, hold on. Wait, don't do that yet. Here, I'll give you this. Where's Jordan? You are looking so good today. You need to be my helper. Come on. Can you run this back there to Steve, and Steve can play this copy for me? You gotta run. I know you're fit. You can do it. See, because if you go quick, the people get to have lunch today. So just give that to Steve. He's going to play that for me. All right. Hang with me. This is important. You're going to get it. All right. Can you pull that up for me, Steve? Oh, better stop that. Can you bring that copy back to me, Jordan? Run that back. Go ahead now, quick now. Your mom's got a turkey in the oven. I know you don't want to sweat with your hot dudes on. You looking for a girlfriend? Just stay here now. I need your help. Stay there. Come on, folks. Let's just pray over this copy right now. You ready? Let's pray over it. Let's go clean it up. Oh, copy, be right. Be right. Come on, be right. Be right. Here, let's go try it again. Sometimes you just got to scrub it, rub it, do your best, you know, clean it up as best you can, and then we'll try and do it again, all right? Try one more time there. All right, Steve, give that a shot for me, will you? Technology is amazing, isn't it? It's going to work this time. It's going to be good. Listen. Just stop that, Steven. Stop it. Steven, you know what? I've got the master here. I got the master right here. Jordan, where's Jordan? I got the master, so let's just use the master, all right? Because obviously the copy's all screwed up, so. Man, I prayed for the copy. I rubbed it. We tried to shine it with my belly. I mean, I did everything I could, and it was still screwed up. That's just, no matter how hard you try to clean up that copy, it just, sometimes it's just not going to work, eh? Why won't it work, though? Play that master for me, Steve. Play that master for me. Oh, hold it. Stop. You've got to be kidding. You mean the master is screwed up, too? Steve, you should be able to remaster that. Can you remaster it? Can you do it over for me? Thanks, buddy. Those are both, they're no good. You remaster that one for me? Just play a remastered version for me. Wow, did you see that? I had a master that was screwed up, and guess what? The screwed up master passed on its screwed upness. I just made that word up. Its screwed upness to every single copy. Every single copy. Imagine if we did hundreds and hundreds of copies and sent them out. What are we going to do with hundreds and hundreds of screwed up copies? See, that's the problem God had. God had a problem because the one that he mastered made right, it was screwed up. And because Adam was screwed up, he passed up that screwed upness to every single copy. Now, here's what we do. We try to get the copy, and we try to clean it up. I'm going to clean up my copy. That's what a lot of Christians are doing. I'm trying to clean myself up for God. And they don't even know the truth. You can't clean it up. It needs to be remastered. You need to be born again. See, now that was the copy. Play the master for me, Steve. Play the master of that one. The copy was good because the master was good. You see, you've been put on the turntable of Adam. But now you know what? You can get popped off and you can get remastered and you can be put on Jesus' track. You can be reinitiated. You can be rewritten. You can be recreated. You can be remade. And that's it. That's really, really it. Now it's no longer good or bad. It's about, was I on Adam's turntable or am I on Christ? And all of us were in Adam, but you know what? All of us now can be in Christ. Give me one more slide there, Stephen. Yeah, I got another one there. We just went to the impact page. Hey, look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Okay, what is God doing? What's he going to do with all these copies? Look at that, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You know what? Everybody was in Adam, but it's amazing how the services worked out. It's amazing what was working on people's hearts even today. What people wanted to say was good decision. What's the good decision? You decided to come out of Adam. You decided to come in Christ. What's the good choice? What's the good thing you did? You decided it's time to be remastered. It's time to come out of the valley of indecision. It's time to come out of this place, and it's time to be remastered and come into Christ. And see, it's all because of the finished work of the cross, so that it all might be by faith, by grace, through your faith. Through faith in the finished work of the cross. So by grace, through faith, you have been born again. You've been remastered. John 3:7, do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Don't marvel at that. You see, that was Jesus to the religious leader, the guy full of all the teachings, the guy full of all the stuff. How Jesus talked to him, he told him, you need to be born again. But see, a lot of religious people, they try to, through their own efforts and everything they do, they try to straighten themselves up. And a lot of people, I've had people, I can't get baptized yet because I'm still screwed up. I mean, I'd like to get baptized, but I'm not sure I'm ready because I'm still messed up. You know what? You can never change. You can never make yourself ready for that. You have to do it as an act of obedience because you need to be remastered. You need to be born again. You need to get your mainframe wiped out and the whole thing needs to be rewritten so that you can be in Christ. And when you're in Christ, you get it all. Body, soul, and spirit. You get the whole thing. So I got good news for you. If you were on the wrong turntable, you can buy a decision today. You can buy a decision today. You can choose today to say, I want to be rewritten. I want to be remastered. I want to be in Christ. And then it's no longer about, am I good and am I bad? It's no longer about that. It's about, I'm in Christ Jesus. And you can confess really, really boldly, I'm born again. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. One more verse. It's Romans 6:10-11. Here it is. For the death that he died to sin once for all. Once for all. If you go back and you read in Romans 5 where we read, circle one, the one man, the one. Well, the one, Christ Jesus, he did it once for all. But the life that he lives now, he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does reckon mean? Reckon is very, very simple. You ever heard of people in the South say, I reckon so? Reckoning means I agree. Reckoning means I'm going to line up under that thought. Reckoning means, it doesn't mean that I'm going to do something. It just means it's like an accounting term. I'm going to accept that as the facts. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to say, yep, I reckon so. I don't feel anything. I don't. There's nothing wild happen in my life. But I right now, because of what preacher just said right now, he said that I can make a choice and I can be in Christ and everything can be right and I can be the very righteousness of God just by choosing Christ. I choose to be remastered. I choose to be born again. And it's done. It's all done. Body, soul, and spirit, you've been brought into a new realm where you don't have to achieve anything. You just now drink deeply, continue to receive, let that new nature in you work out every wonderful promise of God in your life. Can I get an amen? All right, people need to get prayed for today. So I'm going to stop right there, but I just, right now, you know, one guy did it. He did it once, and he did it for all. So I just want you to stand up with me, and then I just want you to bow your heads, all right? Are you ready? Just want you to bow your heads, close your eyes, nobody looking around. Just really want you to think about Jesus right now. Now, maybe you're here today and all that's gone on, the presence of the Lord, all that stuff, you still feel like it's about the good, bad thing. I mean, the enemy's trying to say, you're just bad. Your future's bad. It's all bad. It's not about good and bad. You know what? Right now, your whole life can be transformed by one decision where you say, I want to be remastered. I want to be born again. I believe what Jesus did for me was enough. I want to step on the turntable of Jesus, and I want my whole life rewritten according to his righteousness. And you can just choose to do that. You know, if you don't know, if you've been living in good and bad and you wish it were that simple, you're not sure, you don't know if you're a child of God, you don't know what it is to be born again, you don't know what it is to have that sin nature eradicated in your life and be born anew and have the very nature of God working in you, then it's not me trying to be good, it's God himself in me manifesting good works created before the world even began. It's no longer striving, it's just being, it's manifesting, it's existing out of that relationship with God that's tangible and powerful in my life. So maybe you're here today and say, I don't know Jesus like that, but I want to. I don't know what that is. I'm still stuck in this good and bad thing. I just feel condemned. It says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're sitting there going, I don't know, I still struggle, I need you today to be born again. And what that means, I'm just going to say a prayer with you because you're going to confess with your mouth. You're going to reckon it so. You're going to say, I want to align with Jesus. I want to make a choice that I don't want to be in Adam. I want to be in Christ. And that'll happen for you today. So right now, all across the place, I want you to do something. I'm going to ask you, if that's you and you want to be transformed today, you want things to change in your life, you want to be a child of God, if that's you, I'm going to count to three and I need you to throw your hand up so I can see it. Are you ready? One, two, three. Right now, put your hand up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just lift them up real high. One more time for me. Awesome. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right, we're all going to pray. You pray and we're all going to pray. You ready? Right now. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died for me. And I thank you that because of that, you took my sin so that I could have your righteousness. I break alignment with Adam, and I agree with Christ. I want to be born again right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Rebirth my spirit. Cause me to be alive in you. I declare I'm forgiven, I'm healed, and I'm free in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, that was awesome. I counted over four people there, so that was good. There might have been others I couldn't see because the lights were in my face, but that's awesome. Welcome to the family. Because you're no longer written with that corrupted, thing in your life. You're born again. Well, what if I have a bad thought again? Don't worry about it. Here's what you do when you get a bad thought. Confess Jesus. Confess freedom. Confess that I heard it's not about good and bad. It's about in him and I'm in him. Hallelujah. I'm in God. I'm in him. Lord, let you work in my life in Jesus' name. And there's going to be a transformation takes place in your life that's going to just blow you away. Away, away. All right. One more time. There's people here. There's the goodness of God in this house. There's this big stuff here today. I mean, I was praying I wanted God to come in a big way today. I'm just so desperate for him. And I know he's here. I tell you, there's nothing too hard for him. He's going to break bondage. He's going to break shackles. He's going to do things. You know, the enemy, he's been coming. He's been terrorizing. He's been roaring. But I tell you, much more did God's grace abound so that we can reign in life. Not get through, but reign in life through the finished work of the cross. I know there's people here today that you need prayer. You need to cry out like Brian said. I tell you, it's done. I tell you, it's time for the way. The way is made. It's time for me to declare the way of the Lord in your life. You may need somebody just to agree with you and see a breakthrough and see a touch. Now, I just want you to bow your heads one more time. You ready? Bow your heads one more time. That's you. You're a believer. I'm not saying you need to be born again, but right now there's been like mountains in your way. There's like things in your face that are screaming at you that, you know, it says mountains melt like wax in the presence of the Lord. I mean, the wax melter is here. The mountain melter is here. The one who makes those things go, he's here. I mean, the yoke breaker, the anointed one, the mighty one, he's here. And you may need that breakthrough. You may need to just come and just agree and shout with somebody that I'm getting my breakthrough today. And I tell you, there's something significant about the anointing in the house today that I know if you get prayer today, there's something you can put a demand on. You'll never be the same. And you know what? I trust him. I trust him because I think it's that time all the time. It's always that time. But I just feel that sense of a tangible presence to touch you. So right now, nobody's looking around, just you. Right now you say, you know what? I need that breakthrough today. I need that touch today. You just put up your hand right now. Boom. Put up your hand. Say, I need that. I'm telling you. done with this stuff. I'm going through right now. The enemy's been raging, but it's my time. It's my season. I believe what Brian said, and I believe that's the word of the Lord. Because I tell you, there's a new sense of momentum coming upon this house that's going to break us through into our destiny that is bigger than you ever dreamed of. And I tell you, it's there. But you know what? That's not just a corporate thing. That means it has to manifest in every individual life. But, you know, the enemy will try to shout it down. He'll try to deal with it. He'll try to abort it before it even gets started. But I tell you, we're going to scream in his face at no way. There, he is the way maker. He is the one. He is the one who always makes a way. He's thought of every single detail, and he is going to be successful. What he began in me, he is committed to bring it to a flourishing conclusion.